You are listening to Know You're Crazy. My name is Susan Dene. We all have crazy. What separates us is how we choose to deal with it. I'm going to be delivering engaging and actionable tools to own your crazy, treat your crazy, and turn it into your own superpower. I hope that you walk away from this show feeling the power and strength within you. And never forget to enjoy your journey because you are worth it. Hey everyone, welcome to the Know Your Crazy Talk Show. My name is Susan Dene and you are listening to Emotional Recovery in the Raw. If you've been listening for a while, then you know I like to cover four key areas of life. Health is one of those areas, along with finances, relationships, and our careers. Today's guest, I'm excited to have on the show because I am talking with her about health, specifically the benefits of cold therapy. Have you ever considered freezing to get healthy? Did you know cold temperatures can help with inflammation? What about mental health? Today's guest, Jenna Hardcastle, is joining me to discuss the benefits of cold therapy for the mind and body. Jenna is a giver and a healer by nature. She has been a registered nurse in a hospital setting for nearly a decade, with a recent transition into a holistic role. As a frontline nurse through the pandemic, she witnessed tragedy and stress regularly while balancing a career, new motherhood, and everything in between. Through this experience, she explored the possible benefits of cold therapy. Even through the traumatic experience that tempted professional burnout, she was still recognized by her patients and colleagues with the DAISY Award for Extraordinary Nurses. She has spent the last few years on her own healing journey. She is learning how to prioritize her physical and mental health so that she can keep caring for others. Jenna, welcome to the Know You're Crazy Talk Show. I am excited to have you today. One, I just can't wait to be, whether it's cold therapy or just health hacks, I'm excited to talk to you about some of your story, your practices, and obviously the benefits of cold therapy. So welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So starting out, I'm going to start with the pandemic and how that impacted you. I don't know if you are familiar with my story, but I personally, we lost my father to COVID in December of 20. It was back in Nebraska. And I personally got to witness the nurses and how much work and effort they put into caring for the patients during that time. I can only imagine, based on what I witnessed, the amount of stress and traumatic situations that you faced. So that, I think when you and I first spoke, for everyone listening, I met Jenna at my Holistique in Bellevue, my naturopath's office, doing some IV therapy. And Jenna was helping me when we got to having a conversation, and she told me a little bit about her experience, and I immediately invited her to be on the show to talk about this one, because the pandemic and the amount of tragedy and traumatic stress that came along with it, I personally experienced. So finding and talking to someone who was on the front lines of that and how that experience was for them, but then also how we transitioned into different methods and things that were going on, which I think some of that was cold therapy. Somehow we transitioned into cold therapy, which I got excited about. So if you wouldn't mind just telling everybody about your experience, a little bit about you and what it was like back then, and then we'll fast forward and we'll get current.
Yeah, so I'm a registered nurse, and most of that has been in a hospital setting. I worked at Providence in Everett and Evergreen in Kirkland. And as a float nurse. So that means I go wherever the help is needed, as long as it's not a specialty like labor and delivery or surgery or something like that. So I was working at the epicenter where COVID was first started as a float nurse. And for me, it was almost like a call of duty, like almost like militant. So stress was certainly there, but it was driven by there was motivation to serve and like protect and be part of whatever healing people would need through this sickness and through this tragedy. And so I like to call it almost like chronic normalized stress, where I was under so much stress all the time that it just felt normal. I was 7 months pregnant, working as a nurse when COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And so I worked up until my delivery and then took maternity leave, which was a really nice time to take maternity leave. And then as soon as I came back, I jumped right back into it. And so not only dealing with the new challenges of motherhood, but also working in that kind of traumatic environment, was definitely a time when I hit crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I can really relate to that time when you said it was like a calling. Would you describe it? There was not even a thought to not do it. It was an automatic, I'm going to show up for this and be present and help.
Totally. It was just like, okay, this is what we're doing. This is happening. I had a lot of pushback, from the people who loved me saying, you can't do this. And I was like, no, I have to do this. So, it was all stress, like emotional stress, trying to figure out what I shouldn't do, all the things, very unnavigated territory.
It was definitely a navigated territory, but I will honestly say thank you. I know families such as mine that were so severely impacted at that time, eternally grateful for the ones who would show up and do that service just on automatic. The amount of just auto drive, just showing up, suiting up, doing the job and being there for families when everybody was full of fear. And then yet you're in a role where the most sad, traumatic situations are occurring in front of you. And yet you all didn't have the answers either, as everyone was scrambling. And then the political climate at the time was what it was.
Yeah.
It was a very challenging time. I mean, I'm not a nurse. I have my experiences in helping people get sober, or they get sober and then I help them stay sober, I guess is a better way to say that. But when I got the call to go back to my family, it was an auto call too. It was just automatic. This is what I'm going to do. This is, you know. And so I can really understand when you were faced with different scenarios and not knowing how to deal with those, you know, and facing the stresses that would come and then the level of energy, the level of fear that was out there. So having said that, I was curious, how did you get into nursing?
I have a bunch of firefighters in my family. Mm-hmm. So I knew the service industry was going to be, for me. And then I actually started along the path of athletic trainer. And then part of that course dove into more anatomy and physiology of like organs and stuff like that. And I was like, no, I need to do more medical. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how it started.
And then how did you, have you always, because I know you're with the naturopath now and more of the holistic side of things. How did that transition happen?
It's kind of been a progression. Since my background's all in the hospital, I'm very educated and knowledgeable about the Western medical model, but I think a bunch of my passions and interests are kind of in Eastern wisdom. I am a certified yoga teacher, and I dabble in a lot of different holistic modalities for my own self-care. And so that's really how I chose to do this route. Like I wanted to do procedural stuff, hence the IVs, but I wanted to do it in a more holistic role.
Do you think that we're in, as a society, do you think we're moving more and more into the holistic side of things? It's almost like, and when I say natural, I mean more of the organic healing of the body, like it, you know, way before all the advances came, what we're finding is the body heals even easier all on its own without too many things. Like one of the reasons I love coming to your clinic is because it's really about getting to the root of the problem and not just treating the symptom, right? Do you think we're moving closer? Do you think we're getting closer and closer in that direction and moving away from Western medicine, it seems that there's been a heightened awareness, at least I think, but maybe it's only because I awakened to it, right? Like maybe, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think there's a lot more awareness. There's a lot more, especially, I mean, we live in a time where there's so much information, but you do have to sift through the information to figure out what's valid. But the body's been able to heal forever. And then Western medicine comes in and thinks we can fix what the body can't. And so I think there is becoming more awareness, and especially kind of with biohackers and just people who are just trying to optimize their health. There's a lot more information with podcasts, with the internet, and so many books. Like there's just so much access to educate on how to help your body do what it can.
Do you have any favorites? Any favorite biohackers or anybody that
my favorite teachers, along with like cold therapy, where I get most of my information, is Wim Hof, and Andrew Huberman.
Nice. Yeah. I was a David Asprey fan when I got into it a few years back, into the biohacking, and that got me. That actually, a line in one of his books led me to a bioidentical hormone replacement of a infant problem him and his wife had getting pregnant. That was the beginning of it. And then I don't know, many books and you know, topics since then. But that's a nice segue into cold therapy. So what we're going to do is everyone is, I'm going to take advantage of our break that's coming up. And then Jenna and I are going to get prepared to jump into the cold therapy discussion so that she can tell us what she knows about that. And hopefully there'll be something out there that will assist you in that process. So we will be back shortly. If you want to get a hold of me or you're looking for any coaching of any sort, you can reach out at my website at Susan Denee. It's DENEE.com. All right, we'll be back shortly.
Sherry Collins is an intuitive development life coach, psychic medium, and teacher of many modalities to help heal the body, mind, and soul. Her work mixes together a variety of different modalities to create something totally unique and powerful. If you are ready to heal the past traumas and wounds that keep you stuck, Sherry will teach you techniques that will allow you to live your best life. To learn more and book a session, visit sherry-collins.com.
What does it feel like to be tangled up in knots? Find out how to get untangled on the hit show Untangled and Free with Joan on TransformationTalkRadio.com. We all have knots and tangles. Knots in your finances, your relationships, your beliefs. Which one do you want to pick up today and untangle? As Joan guides you on a pathway of freedom to live an untangled life of peace, love, joy, abundance, and more. Visit MindfulnessWithJoan.com and get untangled today.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Sherry Collins is an intuitive development life coach, psychic medium, and teacher of many modalities to help heal the body, mind, and soul. Her work mixes together a variety of different modalities to create something totally unique and powerful. If you are ready to heal the past traumas and wounds that keep you stuck, Sherry will teach you techniques that will allow you to live your best life. To learn more and book a session, visit sherry-collins.com.
Everyone, welcome back to the Know Your Crazy Talk Show. My name is Susan Dene, and you are listening to Emotional Recovery in the Raw. This week's topic is health. My guest, Jenna Hardcastle, is joining me to talk about cold therapy. If you were with us for the first segment, we were simply going over Jenna's history. We were mentioning the impact of COVID and the pandemic. And then now we're just ready to, I think, dive into cold therapy, right, Jenna?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to let you take over from here. So I've done, I know a little bit to be dangerous. I told you in the beginning of the show before we got started, as much as I would love to say I've done cold therapy, I'm a weenie because I have a hard time with cold showers, or so I'll make a baby step and then I turn up the heat. So anyway, so I'm just going to let you take over. Tell us, maybe start out with telling us how you got started into cold therapy.
Yeah. So my first introduction to cold therapy, was way back, when I did my bachelor's education. I did a part of my bachelor's project on cold therapy for pain relief after surgery. Mm. And so that's related to inflammation, but in regards to mental health is when I needed it, I was introduced by my personal trainer. And he, God, he's such an amazing person. He introduced me to cold therapy. And so I read Wim Hof's book, cause I have to research everything before I try it. It's just my nature.
Yep.
And, so, I needed some help, in the mental health realm. And so I, decided to try cold therapy. And my avenue was through cold showers. And so I would take my warm shower, I'd wash my hair, I'd take my hot shower, and clean myself. And then I would end cold. And what I've learned by cold now is cold is just, you want to get out, but you can safely stay in. So that cold might be different for different people. And so I started with 10 seconds and then now I'm up to around 2 minutes. But it sucks every single time. I never enjoy the cold shower.
How often per week do you do 2 minutes?
I try to do it 3 to 4 times a week.
Yeah.
And never enjoy it, but afterwards I feel so good. And it's like, it's almost a warming from an inside out. Like when you take a hot shower, you're warming from the outside in, but after you take a cold shower, you are warming from the inside out. And it's almost just so refreshing to step into room temperature air that feels now warm. A little bit of science behind that, is cold showers. Now that there's some studies out on it, or cold exposure, I should say, whether you want to do it in showers or immersion, like a bath, raises your dopamine levels. Mm-hmm. And so that is a neurotransmitter that is really evident in motivation, and it's just a feel-good neurotransmitter. So different than like a dopamine hit when we do something like social media or eat sugar or drink alcohol, those kinds of things. It raises, when you practice cold therapy consistently, it raises your baseline of dopamine. So that's where I really is like, okay, I'm on board with this for mental health.
I think that's fantastic. You know, before we got on Well, as I prepare for the show, I'll dive into some more research, you know, do my homework about 3 or 4 days beforehand just to find out if there was anything new that I learned. And one of the things that I did pick up this time that I did not pick up in the past is exactly the topic that you're talking about, which is mental health, which I find fascinating because of the amount of women and the number of women over the years that I've worked with. And then I myself have been through all kinds of different things emotionally and mentally over the years, especially my recent experience with menopause, which has been eye-opening for me. It's a game changer for me. It's not for all women, but it has been for me. It's like a light switch was shut off, and I'm just interrupting myself, but I never did cold. I haven't tried cold therapy around that. Bioidentical hormone helped a whole bunch, but I haven't tried the cold therapy. So your trainer turned you on to cold therapy to help with mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Did it take time to build up for you to feel better emotionally? Like, were you feeling, was this during the pandemic? Is it when you were dealing with all of that? Or was it after, like the aftermath of the stress?
So I noticed when I needed to try something different. It was close to when my daughter was turning one. That means I had been in pandemic mode for a year and a half. And my daughter had received a bunch of like a ball pit. And mm-hmm. I just broke down in tears because I was like, I can't handle this mess. And so
my head went to the ball pit. I've had three kids. I've had more than that. It was half mine, half somebody else's. But anyway, but the ball pit thing, the thing that my head went to was during that time, what I would have been thinking was germs everywhere, but then also the mess. You're right. The mess, because it's so like they go everywhere.
Right. And I was just like, I was so upset that I couldn't even celebrate my daughter's first birthday. I was so hyper-focused on mess. I was like, I need to do something. So I started learning more about that. And I wouldn't say it's tricky because there isn't an immediate effect when you get out of the cold. You just feel like a wave of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then just kind of progressional, I was pretty consistent with it for several months and then fell off of it. And then another traumatic event happened to me at the end of 2022. And I was like, okay, I need to jump back on. And yeah, I'm feeling pretty good in my mental health right now.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. The other, in alignment with the same thing that we're talking about, the other topic that I read about or actually listened about was the intent, more focus doing mm-hmm. the cold therapy, right? More focus with the cold therapy. And some of the studies they were talking about, he said the shower, what did he say? The shower studies aren't as prevalent because it's hard to pinpoint how people shower, like if the water's on their head, if it's on their body, if they're in, if they're out, right? So it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
So for you, for cold therapy, your method has been the shower. What other methods can people use for cold therapy?
You can do cold immersions. So you could jump in a lake. you could fill your bath with cold water or even a couple of ice cubes if that floats your boat, or if that, mm-hmm. that is a safe level of cold for you. You could put your hands in a cold bath or your feet, because when you cool your hands, your feet, or your cheeks, that mm-hmm. cools your core.
Very interesting. So tell me about that, because I think most people assume that they would put like a cold washcloth on their head and that'll bring down the temperature. Like when you think how most of us in the past. So what is it about the hands and the feet and the cheeks that actually works better than, you know, what somebody else might automatically think?
Like I can't remember the term exactly. Andrew Huberman on his podcast mm-hmm. states the name, but there are sensors in your hands, your cheeks, and your feet that communicate to the body differently than other areas. And so those are your temperature regulation centers.
Yeah. Interesting. I had an acupuncturist tell me one time when she was prescribing some natural remedy for menstrual cramps for one of my daughters. And the other thing she said, oh, and by the way, tell her to make sure her feet are warm. I was like, okay. So it was, you know, when the cramps hit, tell her to make sure her feet are warm. So it's interesting how many sensors are going on.
Yes.
Yeah. So what other methods for your mental health? If you don't mind me asking, I think that, you know, I mean, obviously the name of my show is Know You're Crazy. And so I'm all about understanding how we operate emotionally and mentally and what we need to do to switch that up. Because not all crazy, you know, crazy can be temporary is what I like to say. And there's so many tools that we can use in order to calm ourselves down, or like you're saying, raise the dopamine levels. You know, how often do you, you know, you'll hear about everybody getting an antidepressant. I don't know about you, but sometimes in the circles, I'll be like, I went to the, but did you think about taking a cold shower every day?
Right. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Like, and so what other methods have you found successful for you to really help keep that emotional balance?
For me, some of my go-tos are breath work. And that could either be holotropic breath work, where you're like intentionally hyperventilating.
Mm-hmm.
But just something as simple as box breath, where you're holding... or where you're inhaling, holding, exhaling, holding. Just different ways of manipulating your breath so that you can tap into your parasympathetic nervous system.
Yeah.
So the dance between the sympathetic and the parasympathetic is essentially a huge part of mental health, because if we spend so much of our life in parasympathetic or in sympathetic mode, we're going to run our body down. Our brain's not going to feel very good. And so tapping into parasympathetic with slowing down with breath and movement, yoga and weightlifting have been my go-tos for that. Eating a balanced diet. I've actually been on a journey of weight gain. I had a miscarriage in December and lost a lot of weight. And so I've been on the journey to gain weight.
Oh, well, I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you. You brought me back into cold therapy.
Did it?
Yeah. It was like, okay, life has a way start up again.
Yeah. Yeah. Life has a way of steering us right back into action. If we, as we would say in recovery, if we rest on our laurels too much, we find that, you know, most of us have really good practices and methods and then we fall off. I know in our own household, the last 2 to 3 years, I think my spouse and I, who have traditionally been very active and focused on healthy eating, I mean, we had just been off. We just got off after the pandemic and then my own stuff I've been walking through. And so it really is sometimes a matter of, what am I doing in order to stay on the balance beam? You know, what am I doing to get back on the balance beam? So I can understand how a life situation can definitely pull you back. And it's one of those bittersweet things that can come out of tragedy, right?
Exactly.
Like it wakes us back up.
Growth and pain always feel the same.
What's that?
Growth and pain always
growth and
feel
pain.
The same.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So I think... So what I'm going to do, I was thinking something popped in my head earlier was the Andrew Huberman, actually, something I heard him talk about was the difference in the stress to the body with cold therapy versus, you know, well, pandemic stress, for example. So you've got heightened cortisol levels, right? So under fight or flight. I'm kind of dumbing this down because I'm saying it and it's not exactly my expertise, but I know enough to be dangerous versus what cold therapy does for our body in a stress-wise, that it's not, I think he said there was a study done where it was talked about eustress and distress and the difference of those. So when we come back from break, I'm going to angle into that. And Jenna and I will talk about the difference in the types of stress that cold therapy is doing on the body and why cold therapy is a healthy type of stress for your body versus unhealthy type of stress. Once again, if you're trying to get a hold of me, you can reach out to my website at susandene.com. Feel free to also check out any of the social media on any of the platforms. And we will be back shortly.
We all want confident and happy kids. Nola Peacock, co-host on the Angel Empowerment Show, works with families, coaching parents and kids to find the strategies and techniques that really work, helping your child develop the crucial personal skills that they need to become confident, resilient, and successful young adults. Book a coaching session today at nola-peacock.com. That's Nola, N-O-L-A-peacock.com.
Are you tired of struggling and feeling overwhelmed or being indecisive about your future? Angel Guidance can assist. Contact Cindy Smith, your Angel Empowerment Practitioner, for an angel card reading and more. How would you like to gain more clarity, energy, and a new perspective for your upcoming future? Find out more and book a session at cindysmithaep.com. That's cindysmithaep.com.
When you feel the world is sitting on your shoulders, or your body is screaming at you to get help or get well, or emotionally you are spent, Deb Weinberger can help you in your healing journey. You've heard Deb on the Angel Empowerment Show, and she can support you on your healing journey. She offers several types of alternative healing, assisting you to thrive in an energy-charged world. You can book your session with Deb at onawinghealing.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Know Your Crazy Talk Show. My name is Susan Dene, and you are listening to Emotional Recovery in the Raw. Today's guest, Jenna Hardcastle, had agreed to join me to talk about cold therapy and really just different types of strategies that we use to overcome mental hurdles, maybe physical hurdles. But really the highlight right now is the cold therapy. And before we went to break, I was simply mentioning the difference between different types of stress that the body can go under. For example, when the pandemic had hit and I had gone through everything that I had went through up front, I had experienced fight or flight, which many of you are probably familiar with in your life. When you've been in a stressful situation, maybe a traumatic situation, and it's fear, it's fight or flight. And, you know, you can feel it in your chest, you can feel it in your belly. You know, at that time, you know, the cortisol levels in the body are rising and our goal is to keep those down, but that is stress to the body. So what I was hitting on with her before we went to break was after watching and listening to an Andrew Huberman, which we both touched on, he was talking about a study done by somebody, I'm not even going to worry about names right now, where they were talking about two different types of stress, where you've got eustress, I think it's E-U-S-T-R-E-S-S, versus distress. And the healthy thing about cold therapy is that it affects the body differently, but with healthy stress, so that your cortisol levels are not they don't rise up like they normally would in everyday stress. And so I was just briefly mentioning that because I thought it was interesting. And so I was bouncing it off Jenna to see what her thoughts were on that.
Yeah. So eustress and distress. So, I'll do my best to, explain this. But eustress is a more or less positive stress, because stress is something that we need to survive. It's important. But the dance between sympathetic and parasympathetic is important to have a longevity. And so, eustress, I like to call it kind of flexing your willpower muscle. And so you are intentionally, at your own will, getting into a stressful situation such as cold. And that does spike your cortisol levels. Cortisol is not necessarily a bad thing. It's important for building blocks of certain hormones. But once you're done with that stress, it goes back down to normal levels. If you are in distress, that the cortisol elevates and stays elevated. And that's when your adrenals get burnt out and things like that. And so really flexing that willpower by turning that cold shower on, getting into it, getting those, getting that epinephrine response to raise your cortisol levels. And then once it's over, 10 seconds to 2 minutes later, it's done and you're back to normal.
Yeah, I really like the way you described the two different types of stress. What'd you say it was? Because I like that. Your will is
flexing your willpower muscle.
Flexing your willpower muscle. The reason I find that so fascinating, anybody watching the show right now that's in sobriety would be chuckling right now, because in sobriety and the recovery of, in the recovery rooms, we talk about being very careful with the self-will. Like too much, but we also say that there is a healthy use of the self-will, and that is what you're talking about. And what I really like about that perspective is, you know, when we set our intentions to do something proactive for ourselves, it's amazing how the mind and the body respond positively together, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, the messages are going back and forth that this is a good, healthy thing. And so therefore the body's responding in a good, healthy way. You know, so when we first started talking about the cold therapy, you mentioned inflammation.
Yeah.
And how cold therapy helps inflammation. Would you mind one kind of explaining inflammation first, but then how does cold therapy assist with inflammation?
Yeah. So inflammation, I actually did my bachelor's project on that and cold therapy. So inflammation is a good thing when it's short term. So say you whack your leg on something, your leg is going to get inflamed, maybe create a bruise, maybe it got cut, and inflammation brings all of those healing cells that are in your blood and your lymph to that wounded area. And so that's important because we need healing things brought to that area. Cold is important to help bring that back out, because if you stay inflamed or you get too inflamed, that actually blocks off healing. It blocks off blood flow. It blocks off just the whole process. So there's inflammation can be more than just whacking your leg. COVID, for one thing, is a disease of inflammation. A lot of immune diseases are inflammatory. And so using the cold helps. Wim Hof describes this as a cardiovascular or a vasculature exercise. Mm-hmm. So you're bringing in blood, and then you're constricting blood with the ice or with the cold to then flex the vasculature to create movement.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And so when someone goes to the doctor or their naturopath and they get their blood work done and they're looking for inflammation, and let's say, because I know we're always looking for low inflammation markers, what is that? Is it like an indication when there's high inflammation markers that the body's fighting an infection? Or could it also be an indication that they're just unhealthy? Like what would somebody derive maybe a couple things if they came back with high inflammation markers?
I don't think I could give this justice because it's so much more than just you have inflammation markers or you don't. Having chronic inflammation where you would have elevated blood levels is probably not a good thing.
Yeah.
So whether that's related to stress or whether it's related to an infection or whether it's related to something like cancer.
Mm.
I couldn't really dive into the details of all of that, but
yeah, no, it's really interesting because it's something that we talk about today that we never used to talk about, right?
Inflammation.
Inflammation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's more of, which is a fantastic thing. It's more of a conversation today, you know, so gentlemen like Wim can come around and talk about cold therapy and how that's impacting inflammation and how it helps us. Right. Okay. So I'm trying to think. Outside of cold therapy and you do breathing exercises, what type of health habits do you like doing in regards to food?
It's a pretty loose attachment. I have, because it's very easy to get very hyper-focused on diet or calories mm-hmm. or things like that. So I like to keep it pretty loose with some general goals. I like to increase my protein mm-hmm. To roughly 80 grams a day, mm-hmm. 60 to 80 grams. That's pretty tough for me to achieve.
That is a lot. And it is hard to achieve. I hear you. Yeah.
And so I have rough goals. And then I like to try and eat 30 plants a week. So 30 different types of plants, and that includes spices. And my goal for that is really just to help my gut biodiversity.
That is fantastic. Also- 30 plants. So okay, so I'm interested. Because you work full time. Do you work full time?
I work close to full time.
And you got kiddo?
Yep.
Yeah. Family? Yeah.
Yep.
And I heard you mention lifting weights. So
yep.
And yoga. And so yep. There's some working out and stuff. Okay. So 30 plants. All right. Yep. I'm interested. And look, he's telling me we're almost a break. So, okay. 30 plants. How do you, okay. Spices. I hear you on spices. What, give me an example of a pretty, I know it's not always like set in stone, but give me an example of a day of food for you with it, when 30 plants is your goal, 30 different plants every mm-hmm. week.
I mean, that's the goal. I don't meet that
fantastic.
All the time.
Yeah. But I mean, the fact that you set that goal, that's fantastic. I'm like lucky to get past broccoli. So that's why I'm so interested in this.
Yeah. So I have go-to vegetables and fruits, and roots and stuff. Mm-hmm. But that's the goal. So I try and have like a minimum of 3, vegetables in a meal. Mm-hmm. And I like to do one pot thing so that I can cook it all in a pot or yeah. less dishes. And then smoothies. I like to use the superfood powders that have lots of, different things in them. My go-tos are, I use a lot of onions. I use a lot of peppers. I use a lot of, spinach and broccoli, things that are pretty, go with a lot of different types of mm-hmm. styles of food, or genres of food.
So now do you do fasting?
I have not dabbled in fasting, especially since I'm trying to gain weight.
I was just going to say you're trying to gain weight. Yeah. So fasting's probably not on your list right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with the gaining the weight, is that working? So healthy fats, I'm assuming.
Healthy fats, a lot of nut butters, a lot of avocado, adding olive oil to like everything. But so far I've done pretty good. In the last 3-4 months, I've gained like almost 15 pounds.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. I'm proud of myself.
No, it's fantastic to talk to a woman who's got all of that going on, who's looking forward to gaining weight, because I think you're spot on about there's so much attention on food and weight, and we can hyper focus on it. I'm very guilty of that. too much, you know, got to take it easy, have a little grace with oneself, that type of thing. Well, that's fantastic. Okay. If you had to help someone with cold therapy and you were to, like, someone came to you and said, where do I get started? And you were going to teach them how to do this over a month or two, where would you start them out at?
I'd start by taking your warm shower. And then afterwards committing to committing to just 10 seconds of colder than your hot shower. So, and that cold would be cold enough that you want to get out, but can safely stay in. So for me, some days that's pretty cold. And then some days that's, closer to lukewarm.
I like that. So cold enough to that you want to get out, but safe enough to stay in. Is that right?
Yeah.
Cold enough that you want to get out, but safe enough that you want to stay in. Okay. So 10 seconds and then what?
And then work up by 5 to 10, or if you're feeling bold, like just jump into that minute, play a little song that this is my cold shower song.
I like that. All right. So we've got, stay in, long enough. Okay. So it's cold enough that you want to get out, but safe enough that you can stay in. And now you got your cold shower song to go along with it. Oh, start out at 10 seconds and then apply your cold shower song. I like that. I like that. Okay. What would be next?
I think after you take your first couple, you're going to feel a difference. So then you're going to be like, okay, I want to keep doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know anyone else who does cold showers?
I do. I know several people, who do cold showers. I don't know much on the science of this, but more anecdotally, like I have some nurse colleagues who've had troubles with long COVID, and the cold showers have been really beneficial for them.
Yeah. I was reading on an online forum. Someone said that she used to have dry skin, and ever since she started doing cold showers, she doesn't have dry skin anymore. Now I have no idea why.
That works.
I have no idea, but I'm like, well, okay. Yeah. Lots of benefits to it. Okay. So cold showers is pretty much probably the go-to for many, many people. Have you heard of the ice vest and packs that people wear now?
I have heard of them. I mean, they even have ice underwear.
Ice underwear. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder.
You can spend a lot of money on all of these things, but for me, it's easy access in on your cold shower, or sticking your hands in a cold bowl of an ice bowl of water. You don't need all the fancy stuff to get the benefits.
Yeah. Well, I will likely be giving this a shot. I think I'm going to try your 10 second thing. I have been I'm not a cold shower type of person, but I know it's so good for the body. So I'm definitely up for giving it a shot. So now what do you think of saunas? Completely opposite end. A lot of health benefits with saunas, but do you do saunas at all?
I do. My morning routine, since January, when I just like committed to doing this whole health thing again, is I wake up at 4:45 in the morning, go to the gym, lift some weights or do some like yoga or body movement. And then I sauna for 10 minutes and then cold shower. And then I get ready for work.
And so tell me, why do you sauna for 10 minutes? What is your reason?
'Cause I know it's really important to sweat. And I like the warm.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Yeah. I like the detox of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you do cardio? I guess right now, maybe not if you're trying to gain weight, right?
I get cardio as a byproduct. So like I don't run on the treadmill, but I'll do stairs or I'll do, faster pace movements, like HIIT training, my muscles are pretty in good shape, but my fast twitch muscles are not, not very in good shape.
And so for you, looking back over the last, let's just say 4 years, maybe even 5 years, if you'd like, what are some of your top practices that you do for your mental health and to stay emotionally fit? Like if somebody was to come to you and say, you know, I'm really looking for a new way of doing life. Like, what are some of your best practices that you would coach somebody on?
Meditation for sure. Okay. And that can just be as simple as counting my breaths, for 3 rounds of 10. Or I use lots of different guided, meditation apps, meditation, exercise, whether that's yoga, or weight training, because you need to lift heavy things in order to create bone density. Cold therapy. This is off topic and I'm dabbling in it. I'm at the very beginning stages of it, but there's a lot of information out there and a lot of talk about psychedelic therapy. And so that's been a big curiosity of mine for mental health. And like, I've been a patient of, ketamine therapy, for depression. And so I'm really interested in how that's going to play a role in the next few years, as more research comes out on the different psychedelic therapies.
Yeah, there is a lot of talk about psychedelic therapies right now. So in that realm, so what was your experience like for the depression?
It was helpful. It was really helpful. It was, to me, it was like a reset button that I needed. But my experience and understanding is that it's experiential healing and so to kind of relate it into, like if you read a book or watch a movie or hear a saying, and then that instant, like your perspective shifts and you have a totally different outlook on life. That's kind of what I relate it to, is it's such an experience of awe that some of the stuff that like I used to worry about or brought me into a depression are just not a big deal anymore.
I totally understand that. Yeah. I personally, being a recovered drug addict and alcoholic, will not be partaking in psychedelics, but
yes, fair enough.
I can appreciate the spiritual experience, because some sober individuals do participate in it. They are open to that. And so I can appreciate the open-mindedness, because, hey, I did shrooms back in the day and I thought I was God there for a while. And I got to tell you, I have not forgotten that experience. And I would describe it as the four seasons almost, you know. There was an angry moment there, but now I would probably wait. Now, we were not microdosing. We were far from it. It was quite the experience. But the open-mindedness, I still remember what that experience was. It does get a lot of talk right now. I have also heard about the fantastic studies and how much it has helped individuals with depression. So it will be interesting to see where that goes. Do you think that people can get there in meditation if they just try hard enough and do it long enough?
Trying hard enough is
I know it's a bad choice of words.
To let go of trying.
Yeah.
But yes,
consistency. Would consistency be
really
a better
done
word?
A lot of research in that area to be able to access the types of experiences through meditation.
Yeah. The different levels of higher consciousness. Quite interesting. Well, look at that. We started out with a story of the pandemic. We ended on psychedelics. Thank you for throwing that out there. That was a nice wrap up to the show. I love that type of stuff. So thank you so much for being with me today on the show. So for those of you joining, if you want to get in touch with Jenna, you can do that through her social media. What is your Instagram?
@Jenna or @hardcastle.jenna.
There we go. I like that fact. You're like, I stay away from social media a little bit for my mental health. I too can appreciate that. But that's how you can get a hold of Jenna if you have any questions on anything that we've talked about today. You can get a hold of me on the website at susandenay.com or any of the social media platforms. So Jenna, thank you for being with me today. It was a great conversation.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. All right. Well, take care and see you folks next week.
Okay.
You have been listening to Know You're Crazy.
Crazy. Crazy.
And my name is Susan Denae. We are identifying, understanding, and treating your crazy one episode at a time. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. To connect with me or Growth Spurt Your Life, please visit SusanDenae.com. That's Susan Denae, DENEE.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.